The Buzzer After Hours. Music. Stories. Just dropped releases. The After Party. Nothing is taboo. After Hours.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the Buzzer After Hours show. Welcome, episode 22. Today is part two of my chat with Bill Moore. Part one aired on the Buzzer podcast July 13th. You can listen to that podcast at thebuzzerpod.com. Bill Moore is the president of Consumer Products MD. Consumer Products MD is a multi-channel brand development and monetization agency. It serves the consumer products, CPG, and entertainment industries. Today, we chat about the challenges for artists in the Canadian market, why merch is important, and questions you ask before you sign to a label or work with an industry expert. Enjoy the show. That sort of leads me up to my next question. What are the things that an artist, like common sense suggestions for an artist when building a business, like what to avoid, what to look for?
The key thing is to develop a plan so they understand where they want to go. So have music, right? I have music in the can. It's registered with SoCan. Okay. I've done everything that I need to do as an artist. And what do I want to do with my music now? Do I want to be a touring artist? Do I just want to tour? Do I want to develop a following that way? Given that we're not in a tour mode right now, we will be. So I would suggest artists reach out to their venues, if they're small local performers, and tell them that, hey, I'm local and I want to book a gig. Then the venue is going to say, we're on lockdown. I went, yeah, but you're not going to be on lockdown. I want to be the first one to have a gig booked with you when you open up. And I think what you're going to find for like the bigger clubs is just going to be a waiting list. And, you know, there's gigs being booked now in anticipation of,
yeah,
you know, reopening.
Yeah, a lot of venues are.
So, you know, I would encourage artists to do that and, you know, start reaching out and getting their some commitments. I would recommend that they avoid these people in the Canadian or music business. It's prevalent in the U.S. as well. And I keep saying Canadian. So before the show, I called a few friends down in the U.S. and I went, here's things I've noticed unique about the Canadian business. And inevitably, they said the same thing. They said, no, it's not unique to the Canadian business, Bill. That's pretty much the music business in a whole.
Okay.
And it's filled with these people that say, I don't know. So you have to be wary of these people. So ask questions as an artist with these people approaching you and look for the ones that say, I don't know, and just avoid those people. Because I've noticed that it goes back to this one size fits all or everything under one or one stop shop, however you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually, and it's funny because it's usually with men.
Really?
And they'll have an answer for everything. And just be my advice to artists would be aware of those people and have a list of questions that you ask these people. So if it's a record label, great, have some questions. Who's on your label? If you haven't heard of them, say, great, okay, you're an emerging label, super. What can you do to support me? What can you do to get behind me? Where do you see me fitting? Here's what we're doing. How involved do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And you need to get them aboard because that's part of the machine, because they want to get in that big machine as well. And labels start up and labels come and labels go.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. And with that said, maybe a big label is, hey, I work with Universal. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
And we want to sign you. Then it's great. So and then have a conversation and listen to what they want. And don't go in unarmed. If you're talking to one of the largest music companies on the planet, then you're going to need some, you're going to need some help. And that's not your mom and it's not your dad, even though they love you.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom do you have a, you know, a mumminger that is going to get it, that's going to understand the nuances of the business.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I've spoke to different managers and I said, what don't you touch? And they said, we don't touch mumingers. And I go, what do you mean? I said, listen, if we don't manage the artist entirely, then we don't touch them. Because any of the large management firms have an infrastructure and they know how to leverage and they know how to and how to get results. And with that said, it doesn't always work because somebody that has a good ear can hear something and see something that's new and different and compelling and it resonates and it fires on all cylinders. And it's like, wow, this is the next big thing. And then boom, and it doesn't go anywhere because it doesn't resonate with, you know, with listeners.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. One of the things we're talking about in our guest green room, we're talking about your observations on artists in general. And you asked the question, how does Billie Eilish get Grammys and record in a bathroom? I'd like you to expand on that.
So I guess the easiest way to describe this, have you ever listened to the top 100 over a Canada Day weekend?
Not over Canada Day, but...
Or, you know, over some, we listen to the, and the thing that you hear on these countdown shows, MTV or any of the music shows, radio shows that are doing the countdown of the top 100 bands, the top 100 songs, inevitably it comes down to the same thing. You hear the reoccurring theme. They were new. He or she was new. They were different. It was completely unique.
Okay.
Nobody was doing anything like this. And then somebody like Billie Eilish comes along. So, I mean, she won 5 Grammys. I think 4 of those were recorded in her bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah.
So I watched a documentary and it was hilarious. You know, she's laying on her bed. She goes, here's my recording studio. Let me take you into my other one. And goes into the bathroom and goes upstairs to Phineas' rooms, her older brother, who's the nuts and bolts behind the organization of getting that great music out. And then she just went wild because it was new. It was different. She had a different look. Everything was different. And boom.
Now, she's great.
And now she's one of the biggest stars on the planet. So I guess the thing that I would, there's more talent than ever today. The big thing is, artists need to be different, be new, create, develop a genre and dominate it. For example, Miller Beer created light beer, still the number one light selling beer in the world.
They created light beer?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And they still dominate. But the last time I checked, it was a couple of years ago. The last time I checked, they were still the number one selling because they created the market and they dominate it. So a lot of companies do this, but from an artist perspective, it can be the same way.
That makes a lot of sense. In theory, the band Kiss did it that way. It created a image with their makeup and their getter and the way they presented their music.
Yeah, they had to be convinced to do that.
Really?
Bill O'Coin,
okay,
who was their, I don't remember his exact title. I think he was the manager back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I think a lot of that had to do with, I'm trying to recall the story because I heard the story one night, but that was driven by him for the big flamboyant, in your face, you know, because it's not only a visual, it's not only a listening, it's a visual spectacle.
Mm-hmm. And they had to be convinced. Wow.
My understanding, yeah, they had to be convinced to. That's a lot of work. You mean you're sitting in makeup for 60 to 90 minutes and you have to adorn all that. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, that would be.
And that was, you know, and that's their niche and it works very, very well for them. And it's like when they took the makeup off, it didn't resonate. Yeah, they were still Kiss, but it was Kiss without the makeup.
Mm-hmm. I thought the first time I saw them without the makeup, I was questioned whether or not it was Kiss. It's just funny. That is funny. So the Canadian market as a whole, what are the challenges like for independent artists?
Well, to be heard.
And what about the support from the Canadian government?
You know, I know there's a lot of people critical about the lack of support to Canadian musicians. And like with CanCon, which is Canadian content rules and regulations, that's been incredibly helpful for Canadian artists. I was watching a refresher on like the Yorkville scene and some of the impact that CanCon had on the world. So people like Guess Who and, you know, some of the legacy Canadian rock bands, where if it wasn't for CanCon, they may have gone unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the government has been, I mean, they do what they can. Is we have 38,600 professional musicians. Maybe it's 40,000 now, or after these last two fucking years, excuse me. I don't know how many are on the, but you know, close to 40,000 people that are considered professional musicians in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not critical of the government. I think they can do some things better. I think what the Canadian musicians as a whole, though, there's a lot of disjointed, different organizations trying to speak on behalf of the many, but there's no unity. So there's not one major voice speaking for those 40,000 Canadians.
And how do you see a remedy to that?
Well, I think there's a musicians' union. I'm not sure how many of those 40,000 pay dues to the musicians union, but there's something that there should be a united voice speaking on behalf of musicians. I've seen different organizations reaching out, sending different types of communications to the government. And you know, some of them range from kind of like veiled threats to like sob stories. And it's, you know, and they want, there's no give. It's just a matter of communicating like, oh, things have been brutal. It's been 24 months of where we're not working. And it's, and like I said earlier, I've seen $5,000 in the last 2 years from the music business. So yeah, I appreciate nobody's getting paid and it's brutal. Fortunately, I have a consumer products business that supports me.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of artists, they don't have that. No. So they've been collecting CERB or, you know, and depending on how professional they've been about their business, there's different grants available. There's lots of funding out there that can be made available. And the larger bands that actually, you know, have a business, mm-hmm. There's also offset grants. There's different financial means that have been made available for them as well. Not just specific to music, but encapsulated under, say, small business grants. Well, you have federal grants available that are made from the government. Then you'll have provincial grants. Then you'll have philanthropic organizations providing grant monies. So there's a whole host of people giving, and because they love music, they'll give. I mean, crowdfunding, something is, you see artists that are crowdfunding for new albums that they're working on. So it's, we've been writing an album for the last 2 years, and hopefully, and I pray, and I have my hands together in a praying motion,
okay,
that the artists that are writing today are capturing what's going on for the last 2 years honestly and through their eyes and write their music from their heart and communicate, because we live in a digital world today where Twitter can change the tweets, but you know, song lyrics don't get edited. Mm-hmm. And I would argue that you can look at song lyrics and what, and for a reflection of what was happening in society at that time.
100%.
And the lyrics don't change, yet the narrative, and you know, depending on history and who's writing the textbooks, that changes frequently. So, and I think artists, if they looked at that and realized, oh, you know what, that's interesting, then, and because people will look at a song, they'll listen to a song. And, you know, a lot of the new music that I'm hearing is, you know, I'm not a cancel culturalist, certainly. I don't believe in this racial rampant narrative that we're hearing about. Yes, we've got some problems in Canada. The 215 kids was shocking. And, you know, that's something that's been passionate in my heart for more than a few years. I think that, I'm sorry, that's, it's just upsetting to me when I think about that.
100%. I feel the same way.
But the, you know, embrace something and then stand for it. So, and get out there and support it, because people want, they need to have a musical element to everything. If I'm a poet, I'm going to be writing poetry about, you know, whatever's I'm passionate about. Right now, I think a lot of people are sitting back and they've got tremendous content on their experiences over the last 2 years. So, you know, the songs coming out, I think we're going to see a lot of reflection on, you know, what the world's been exposed to for the last 2 years with this pandemic.
I think there'll be a lot of great music then. So do you think that's what the industry will look like going forward?
Yeah, it's going to be a blip on the radar screen, like Vietnam War.
Okay.
So I think it'll be a blip on the radar screen. And depending upon how it's, you know, they're talking about COVID-21 variants now. So they're getting ready for the next wave.
Oh, no. Are they?
Well, it's pharmaceutical. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I call myself a critical thinker. And when I look at things like this, I have a philosophy, follow the money. Mm-hmm. So when you see something like this, that's being, I don't know, it's almost like brands are being built. You see the amount of money being spent, and you look at politicians like Premier of Ontario enriching himself to the tune of, I've heard two numbers. I heard 35 million. And the other number I heard was 50 million. Do I know that's true or not? No, but I've heard the same numbers from different people where they've, you know, enriched themselves over this.
How and, so?
Premier Ford owns a printing company, prints all the retail stickers, or all prints a lot of the retail stickers.
Okay. Yeah. I saw an article on that as well.
So, you know, I consider that it's a conflict of interest. But, you know, the way politics is today, you look at the U.S., for example, they talk about revolving door politics. Well, it's always been that way. It less so in Canada. But, you know, you have a lot of people getting into public office. I think they go in with good intentions. They get in, they run into a bureaucracy filled with bureaucrats. And the music business is the same. Mm-hmm. But people aren't elected in the music business. But there certainly is an infrastructure, and there's a bureaucracy, and it exists and runs in a certain way. You know, like, it's similar to politics in is that they're enriching themselves. And but what I would love to do is, and what's always struck me is the amount of broke famous people I know. It's like, wow. And I say to them, you know, if you lived in the US, you wouldn't be broke. And they're like, yeah, I know. But I never made it in the US. And then you ask, well, why not? And then you find out, well, they never really marketed themselves in the US. Like, okay, shame on you. And I think what a lot of artists don't realize is that, you know, those songs they've been playing for 30 years that some Americans have never heard, mm-hmm. a great song is a great song. It doesn't matter how old it is.
So you think the Canadian artists should look south of the border internationally for growth in their business going forward?
Everywhere.
I agree with you.
And it's a global market today. You can do a post and it'll go around the world. It's easier than ever. Yet at the same time, it's a strange new world because very few people understand the internet and how it's being used to market. So I'm being used to market. How is it being monetized? And how can I make money from, there's articles all over the place, 28 ways to make money with your music. And they probably stopped at 28 because the guy ran out of time for his deadline to hit the article. And if you really came up with it, it's an ongoing list.
Yeah, there is a saturation of information. Some of it's really good. And some of it's very valuable.
You got to be able to put asses in seats or at least get them to stand. So you got to sell tickets. And that's what it's about. It's about people paying to come out and see you perform your music. So if you can fill a room with 50 people and they'll pay to come see you, guess what? You've got a fan base. Now, how do you take that 50 and turn it into 50 million? And that's where management comes in. That's where labels can come in. That's where, if you're committed to make that happen. But one of my frustrations with artists, and I noticed this, I do these social experiments on Facebook where I just fire out a question to see if, is this a lone anomaly? Because I keep track of deals and I keep track of people when they do what they say they're going to do. So in the consumer products business, it's about 45, 50% people do what they say they're going to do. It's,
Okay.
Yeah. Most, it's hit or miss. But in the music business, with artists that are, send me this, send me a demo, send me the EPK, send me whatever you got. And then it's like less than 5%.
That actually send the demo?
Or that actually do what they say they're going to do.
Oh, okay.
Without having to follow up and chase things.
And why do you think that is?
They're distracted. They're not professional. They don't take notes.
Okay.
So I recommend to everybody, if you make a commitment that you're going to do something, write it down. I mean, it's so simple today. All you got to do is tell Siri to give me a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Or say to that person that you're talking to, you know what? I'm in the middle of something right now. Send me a text so I don't forget. Or at least put the onus on them to follow up until it happens.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there's a real lack of professionalism. And then, of course, you get the, it's okay, he's a rock star. So that this behavior is to be expected. So, and that just becomes frustrating. And it's just, it can turn into a waste of time unless you're dealing with a megastar and you got to put up with the bullshit.
Hmm. So basically, it's coming down to the fact whether they're a rock star or starting out or trying to branch into new markets. If they don't start with a plan and approach it like a business and put some sort of a team around them together that makes sense to them where they want to go, whether they want to tour or go to festivals, if they don't start with some sort of structure, they're really, blowing against the wind.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, first step is to understand the business like we talked about earlier and listen to some of the stories, read articles about Prince and, why he wrote Slave on his face and, contract disputes, find out why did Bob Dylan sell his catalog and how much money he got? Look at NFTs, non-fungible tokens, which is a brand new thing that's occurring right now with music. Art's been doing it for about a year. Twitter, what's his name? The dick at Twitter, Jack Dorsey, had this NFT that he sold for $600,000. I'm not a Jack Dorsey fan. I don't have a Twitter account. But there's, and that's another example of new areas of income. Mm-hmm. Well, I think they need to understand the business and how it works, pros and cons. And if they decide that, this is something that I think I can handle. This is something that I want to do. I'm really good. Listen to friends and family, listen to your fans. And if you decide that you want to take that route, then you need to decide where you need help. Because, I mean, there's some artists are, they love doing social media. They're really good at it. So they do their own social media. They don't need necessarily a social media person because they embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand your, it's like with anything, strengths and weaknesses. So I'm going to build a company. I've got the idea. I've got the product. Well, now I need to package it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it packaged correctly? Now I need to go out and sell it. Well, who am I going to sell it to? And what am I going to sell? And how do I promote and market my products? So with music, it's all about performance and putting people in seats.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're and there's different things that can be done. You can get hired, your opening show for a big act and get paid, or you can buy yourself onto a tour. You know, I've heard numbers thrown about ranging from, you know, $10,000 to buy onto a tour as an opening act to cover Canada, mm-hmm. To, you know, $50,000 to $100,000.
Really?
Because a label, somebody's investing in an artist because they're expecting them to, you know, because they're part of the machine that exists.
Okay. So they actually pay to perform.
Yeah. Let's say you have a legacy band that's touring Canada through one of the major promoters and they need an opening act.
Okay.
So different bands have paid to go on tour
for the exposure.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're going to be exposed to X amount of fans. And at the same time that, you know, their merch is on sale, which is another key source of revenue.
Yeah, 100%.
That's why you always see Mick Jagger always has on one of the shirts that they're selling at the merch stand, right?
Yeah, he tells us to wear it about.
And I think every time that he wears that shirt, they sell out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know people were that easily manipulated.
Oh, no, it's huge star power. Someone sees Mick up on stage wearing a shirt that they can go spend $50 for. Perfect. Great. I'm going to get a shirt just like Mick's got.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
it's just not my mindset. That's like, I have a hard time seeing that. Yeah, but I can see that. That's good. So merch, I'm glad you pointed it out. Because that's something that you have a lot of experience in terms of merch. What's the best way for a band to position their merch?
Well, to have it at their shows and have it on their website and promote it as part of the brand so that people understand that they have merch. And they don't treat it like an ugly stepchild. It's interesting because with the big bands, they all know the power of merch and licensing and, and this generates revenue 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's like this silent little, I call it mailbox money.
Mm-hmm.
Once every 3 months or once every 6 months or once a year, you get a check for your merch or depending on what your merch deal is. You know, sometimes the large industry people will give an advance against merch like they do with the big bands. And they'll give a million, 2 million, depending on how much merch the band sells. And they'll be advanced a big sum of money from the label or a merch company. And that's always a sweet incentive.
So it's another part of the business they need to take very seriously.
Well, they should take it very seriously at the beginning. So if you're going to be playing a live show, you should have some merch if you have a fan base. If you know that 50 people are showing up to see you play in a bar, you're going to sell 5 or 10 t-shirts. You're going to sell a few CDs. And it's a great place to go over and sit and interact with your fans at the merch table when the show's done. So you want to hang out and have a beer? Great. Let's do it at the merch table. And then you can drive some revenue that way. And don't be afraid to let your fans know, hey, you need help.
I'm glad you said that.
I mean, one of the things that musicians are brutally honest. And if, you know, if you look at artists when they're talking, they're creative and they're just, they speak from the heart, and they should speak to their heart when they're talking to their fans. And going back to what I was saying earlier about writing songs to capture this last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really hope they're being honest and capturing that and speaking from the heart.
Yeah. Can you give us some funny stories before we sign off for the episode?
I'll give you one funny story.
Okay.
So I got a phone call. There's a band, an iconic Canadian rock band, that's playing a gig in Winnipeg. So I get a phone call. Bill, the guitar player forgot his guitar. I went, oh, how did the guitar player forget his guitar? Well, he showed up with his guitar case. Now, this guitar case was one of these relics that weighs, the empty case weighs like 30 pounds. It's one of those indestructible monsters.
Okay.
And every time somebody picks it up, it's like, oh, it's so heavy. Of course, there's a guitar in it, but it was completely empty.
Okay.
So it's like, can you drive to his house, get his guitar, and next day or same day air it to the gig? Like, what are you, nuts? I went, no, he needs his guitar. I went, no, he needs a guitar. Tell him he's an idiot for forgetting his guitar. Call the local guitar store, say XYZ is in town, he needs a guitar, and tell him when the gig's over, he'll autograph it and give it back to you so you can sell it for an extra $500 because it's autographed.
Okay.
So guess what they did?
Option one?
No, option two. I wasn't going to.
Okay, they did that. And
I was, yeah, no, it was. So it's, yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
No, that is pretty funny. I actually surprised they wouldn't even think of that. And you came up with that idea.
Common sense.
Yeah. Sometimes common sense is sometimes not met when without proper reflection from the outside, you know, no matter what you do, no matter what business you're in.
Well, you have to look at things and say, everybody's got their hand out. Everybody wants something. Everybody's making a promise of, here's what I'm going to do in return for the money.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the question everybody should be asking themselves is, do I need to spend on this?
Yeah.
And if it's something that you're going to be spending money on, don't take anything at face value. Investigate.
Yeah, 100%.
Google is a wonderful tool. Just enter any question you have in Google, and guess what? You're going to find answers.
That's great. Thank you so much for all your insight into the industry and what artists should and should not do. I really appreciate your time coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. Glad to help.
This has been great. Bill, if somebody wants to connect with you outside of the podcast, where's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
Oh, my website, which is cpmd.ca. So, and that stands for Consumer Products Market Development.ca.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I saw that you did updates to the site. Amazing. Quite a handsome website. It's easy to navigate. You did very well. And I'm sure people will be able to, if they reach out to you there, they can also see your success, because a lot of your industry recognition is on the website from what I saw.
Yeah, it's a self-promoting website. You've got to toot your own horn, right? Because you can't rely upon people to.
I think every website's like that. Yeah. It's a great, anyways, you did very well. It's good that we, and you're open to have anybody, any artist contact you for your feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I love to look at new stuff. And, you know, if somebody's, particularly something new that's different, that is like completely off the wall. I mean, that's always what resonates. You know, it's nothing is rinse, wash, repeat, because you know, we're in a new world. Mm-hmm. But the thing that will not change is live performances. People are always going to go out and pay to listen to and see performers tell their stories, sing their songs, put on a visual show.
100%. I agree with you. Well, thank you again for coming on to the show, and have a good evening.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
Closing tonight, a quote from Lauren Wiseman. Artists of today can be inspired by the past, but they have to apply present methods if they want a future in music. And that brings us to the end. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Bill Moore for taking the time to give listeners two informative sessions on the industry and his insights. When the show goes silent, take a minute to reflect. Remember, without music, our canvas is blank. Night all. Cheers.
Well, that's a wrap for tonight. Episodes run every Wednesday. Who shows up or what we talk about, who knows right now. Live on the edge. Just tune in and enjoy. See you next Wednesday. From my pad to yours, After Hours. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.